Some of you might remember this, I don't know, but on October 29th, 1998, the Space Shuttle Discovery launched with a 7-member crew. And if you remember that, it might be because of this. One of the members of that crew was a 77-year-old man named John Glenn. John Glenn, of course, had been in space before. 36 years earlier, in 1962, he became the first American man to orbit the Earth. A few days before he returned to space as a member of the Discovery crew, Glenn got into somewhat of a disagreement, an argument with some of the reporters who gathered at the launch pad for the crew's practice countdown. And he scolded them for focusing too much on his age rather than on the scientific merits of the mission. Apparently, by their questions, some of the reporters covering the launch left the impression that Glenn was too old to make such a trip, and they wondered why a 77-year-old man would want to make such a trip and put his body under such physical and emotional stress. The gist of their questions seemed to suggest that at his age, that Glenn would be better off sitting in a rocking chair at a rest home than strapped to a chair in a rocket orbiting through outer space. When it comes to the subject of old age, our culture has come to believe, at least on the part of many, as the title of a 2007 movie suggests, this is no longer a country for old men. The attitude of many today is, once you hit 65, it's time to retire. Collect your Social Security benefits, if you have any to collect, and quietly fade into the background. This is an issue that is confronting our nation today. And it is also an issue that I think the church is confronted with as well. What should churches do with their older members? What role or roles should older Christians play in the church? Should they just simply step aside and let the younger generations take over? Is the church a place where older Christians can continue to serve in meaningful ways, and if so, what might that look like? I want to change things up a little bit this morning. We, and by we, I mean preachers, often direct much of our preaching at the younger generations, and we talk about younger Christians being the future of the church. And of course, that's true. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but I'm afraid sometimes, unintentionally maybe, when we focus, and again, by we, I mean those of us who stand on stages behind pulpits like this, when we focus so much of our attention on younger Christians, we may unintentionally leave older Christians thinking, well, there's nothing left for me to do. And that is just not true. This morning, I want us to think about, what is my role? What is your role as an older Christian? What, as a church family, do we do with our older Christians? What can be done with those who fall into that category? What should be done with those who fall into that category? What can those who are older in the faith offer those who are younger in the faith? Open your Bibles, if you've not already done so, to a text that we're going to use today to kind of look and think about some of these issues and some of these thoughts. That passage on the screen behind me is Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 specifically, or the scriptures we're going to look at this morning. Now, before, though, we jump into this text and explore what it has to say to and about older Christians, I want us to deal with just a couple of preliminary issues that'll kind of give us a context out of which we can operate in this passage. First of all, real quickly, who is or who was Titus? Well, some commentators refer to Titus as Paul's troubleshooter. We might call him or refer to him today as Paul's right-hand man. When Paul needed someone to go with him to deliver the collection that had been taken up for the saints in Jerusalem, Titus was the man he chose to help go with him. When Paul went to defend himself before the Jerusalem leaders, he took Titus along with him. And when he needed someone to go to the island of Crete and finish a work that he had begun but could not finish, Titus was the man he depended upon to get the job done. So Titus is Paul's troubleshooter. He is Paul's right-hand man. When Paul has a job that needs to be done and done right, Titus seems to be the man who Paul thought of first. All right, a second question we might ask is, where were these people that Paul wanted Titus to go work with? Who were the Cretans? Well, you may or may not know this. If you have a map in your Bibles, you can probably find the island of Crete, but it was a fairly small island. And apparently life on the island of Crete was rough. One of their own members, a prophet of sorts, we're told, referred to Cretans as liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Now, that's not the most complimentary description that you can envision. Apparently, people on the island of Crete liked their booze, they liked to tell stories, and they didn't like to work. So this is a pretty rough group of people, a pretty rough life that you lived on the island of Crete. And so coming out of that background, Paul knew that he needed to send someone into that environment with a strong personality, with the ability to help these Christians understand now what it meant to be a believer in Christ. He needed someone who could go into that environment and help them live up to their calling in Christ. And so Titus is the guy for the job. Now, one final question we might ask is, in chapter 2, when Paul says to Titus, I want you to go and I want you to teach the older men and the older women something, that raises a question, and that question is, what did Paul mean by older men and women? Who did he have in mind? In Paul's mind, who fits into the category of old? Now, age and being old is kind of a relative term, culturally speaking, right? What's old in one culture may not necessarily be old in another culture, so it's kind of hard to nail this down. Philo, who was an ancient philosopher who lived about the time of Paul, says that old meant, in his day, anyone over 60. Are you over 60 this morning? Philo thought you were old. All right, Hippocrates, a Greek physician who lived several hundred years before Paul's time, said that old was 50 to 60 years of age. How many of you are 50 or older? All right, welcome to the classification of old Christians. Now that I've offended half of the population in the assembly this morning, I'm going to let you determine whether or not you fall into the category this morning of an older Christian. But let's be honest, okay? If you can go to the local restaurant and get a senior citizen's discount, that means in this culture, you're old. 60 is not the new 40, right? If we can get a discount at Burger King on a soft drink, we're old, at least by the standards of the culture in which we're living. So that gives you some context this morning to determine whether or not the rest of what I'm about to say this morning, how it applies to you. Now I'll let you determine whether or not you really fit into that category of old or not. So, in this letter, Paul wants Titus, his right-hand man, to go to Crete, a rough place where people like their liquor, they like to tell stories, they don't like to work. And one of the things, the main things, it seems he wanted Titus to do was to appoint shepherds in the little churches that had been established on this island. But in addition to that, he wanted Titus to teach the age groups represented in all of those little churches, how to behave as Christians, how to take what they had learned and live it out. That's central to all of us, regardless of our age, regardless of what culture in which we live. If we have embraced the gospel of Christ, if we have embraced the good news of Jesus, that is to have an impact upon how we live. And so Paul wants Titus to go to the island of Crete to work with these Christians and teach them to live up to their calling in Christ. And one of the things he wants Titus to do is help the various age groups represented in these little churches how to carry that out in their world and in their community. So with that little bit of background, let's look at what Paul says, beginning in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is just a portion of what Paul writes here, but it's applicable to what we're talking about this morning. As for you, Titus, verse 1, chapter 2, promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. In other words, if you've been taught right, you ought to be living right. Remember that. I came up with that, I think. I didn't read that. But if you've been taught right, then you ought to be living right. Promote the kind of living that reflects the teaching you've received. If you've been taught about Christ, then you ought to be living a life for Christ, is what Paul is saying. Promote the kind of living that reflects wholesome teaching. Now, specifically, he says, teach the older men to exercise self-control, to be worthy of respect, to live wisely. They must have sound faith and be filled with love and patience. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Remember, people on the Crete like to drink and they like to talk. So they must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to care for their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. When Paul writes, he always writes missionally. He's always concerned about how people out there look at those in Christ. And so he's basically saying, I want you to live in a way that won't reflect bad upon the character and the name of Christ. And so he specifically addresses here at the beginning of what we call chapter 2, the older Christians in these churches. So, back to the question before us this morning. What role do older Christians have in the church? Again, we often talk about the role of younger Christians and how they should behave, and that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But the question before us this morning is, what does God want or expect of us when we are no longer young? If you are willing to put yourself in the category this morning of an older Christian, the question is, what role, and I don't mean to imply by this that this is the only thing you do, don't interpret it that way, what roles might you have, what actions might God want you to be involved in as members of His body? What is your role as an older Christian in this church family? Well, the answer I'm about to give to that is not the only answer that could be given. There are multiple roles that you might perform if you fall into the category of an older Christian, but here is at least one, and it comes in two parts this morning, as I understand what Paul is saying here. First of all, here is what's expected or should be expected of older Christians in the church. Paul says, teach older Christians. Now, in a moment, we're going to explore a little bit more about what he was to teach them, but let's stop right there and think about this. If Titus was to go to the island of Crete and work with Christians there, and if he was to work with older Christians and teach them something, what does that imply? That older Christians are to remain teachable. That older Christians are to continue to have a thirst and a hunger to learn. One of the temptations, I think, those of us who are older in the faith have to fight is the temptation to think, I've learned all I need to know. I've got it. I've got pretty much whatever I need to have figured out. Don't bother me with something new. Don't challenge me with something different. Let me stay the way I am. That is not what we need from older Christians. Is that all I get? One, thank you, Jesse. All right. Paul says, teach the older men, teach the older women. That implies that as we grow older, we've got to resist this urge. We've got to resist this temptation to think, I don't really need to stay teachable. There's nothing else that I really need to learn. I've pretty much got it all figured out. I came across this book through one of our older members who's now moved on to Texas. Kent Sutherland loved to read, and I love the things he challenged me to read about. And one of the books he read earlier this year, I think, is a book called Primal. And in this book, the author talks about this very thing. He says, God has created us with the capacity to keep learning until the day we die. And that isn't something we should take for granted. The average brain is only the size of a softball and weighs approximately 3 pounds. Yet neurologists estimate that we have the capacity to learn something new every second of every minute of every hour of every day. That's awesome. But it's more than that, he says. It's also an awesome responsibility. Learning isn't a luxury. It's a stewardship issue. It's impossible, he says, to pinpoint what percentage of our minds we use, but there is untapped potential in all of us. Your imagination is capable of far more than you imagine, if I can say it that way. Yet somewhere along the way, get this, this is good. Yet somewhere along the way, most of us stop living out of imagination and start living out of memory. We stop creating the future and start repeating the past. And that is the day we stop living and start dying. Why? Because we stop learning. Loving God with all your mind means making the most of your mind by learning as much as you can about as much as you can. But the true litmus test of spiritual maturity isn't how much you know, it's knowing how much you don't know. It's coming to terms with the fact that God is not an object of knowledge as much as he is a cause of wonder. And that sanctified sense of wonder fuels a holy curiosity to keep learning more about the Creator and his creation. What do we need from older Christians in this family? We need to see in you, I'll put myself in that category. I'm on the far left corner of that category, if you'll let me put myself there. What younger Christians need to see in those of us who are older is a holy curiosity. They need to see in us a spirit that wants to learn and keep learning and keep growing and keep expanding our knowledge and the things that we understand, and is humble enough to admit that as much as we've learned, there's even more that we still have yet to learn. What younger generations of Christians need to see in older believers is a willingness to keep learning, to not crystallize in our thinking, to not stop and think, I've pretty much got it figured out. What I know is pretty much all I need to know. Don't bother me with anything new or different. That stifles. What we need are older Christians with a holy curiosity who want to keep learning and keep growing. All right, so that's one. Paul says, teach the older men and women. That means we've got to stay teachable. We've got to be willing to grow and learn. Secondly, teach them what? Teach them how to be godly role models for the church. Paul wanted Titus to teach the older men in the churches to be self-controlled, not to live lives that are out of control, that not to live lives where our passions just run amok. He wanted Titus to teach the older men to live lives that were honorable and worthy of respect, to exhibit wisdom, especially in regards to their understanding of the faith, and to exhibit in their daily lives the characteristics of love and patience as they dealt with others. He wanted Titus to teach the older women to live honorably before the Lord, to be self-controlled in their behavior, to show and teach the younger wives and moms how to care for their families and how to live and conduct themselves in such a way that no one could say anything bad about the Christian community in those places where those churches and outposts had been established. Paul's always thinking missionally. He wants us to live in a way that honors Christ and allows others to see him living in us. Now, what does all that mean? Just this. I don't think I'm off base at all when I say that one of the most important roles that older Christians can perform in a church is to be godly role models for younger believers. if you are willing to put yourself in the category of being an older Christian. What we need from you is for us to see in your life Christ-likeness. What we need to see in you is a godly spirit. And one of the reasons we need to see that is because, I'm convinced of this, what the younger generation will one day become is very much controlled and dependent upon what they see in the older generation. Is that not right? Does that not make sense? What the younger believers in this body here known as the University Church of Christ will one day become largely depends upon what they now see in those of us who are older. And so that leads to a very important question, and that question is, what do the younger believers of this family see being exhibited in the lives of those of us who are older in the faith? Do they see us living out the teachings of Scripture? Do they see us exhibiting teachability? Do they see in us a hunger and a thirst to learn and to grow and to be stretched and to be challenged? Do they see in us the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control? Do they see in us a compassion for the fatherless, for the poor, for the disenfranchised? Do they see in us a commitment to our faith? Do they see us forgiving and working together in a spirit of cooperation and unity? Do they see in us a peace that passes understanding? Do they see in us a hope that grows stronger with each passing year? A hope that is based on the promises of Christ and the life that He promises to give us in the future. Do they see these things in us? Or do they see in us an obstinate, stubborn spirit, a closed mind that doesn't want to be bothered with new thoughts or new challenges or new ways of doing things? Do they see in us a hardened heart, a callousness, a judgmentalism toward those who are different? Do they see in us a spirit of argumentation and dissension and jealousy and anger and bitterness? What do they see in us who are older in the faith? What they see in us, in many ways, may one day be reflected in their own character. I guess in a way I'm asking, are we a healthy church or an unhealthy church? That's kind of what we're getting at here. And the way we answer that question is by looking at how we act, how we treat each other, how we relate to one another. What are the things we focus on and emphasize here? What do we value as the University Church of Christ? That's an important question. Some of us grew up in unhealthy church environments where anybody who was different was judged and condemned and pretty much sent to hell. That's unhealthy. Some of us grew up in churches that argued and yayed and fought. That's unhealthy. Some of us grew up in churches where the words, "I'm sorry, I was wrong, forgive me," were never heard. Some of us grew up in churches where people were stubborn and obstinate and set out refused to change anything. And you know what? Some of those churches today are barely hanging on, if they're still hanging on. Why? They didn't get it. They didn't get it. Do we? What do we need from older Christians? We need you to show us how to learn and grow and keep learning and growing. A holy curiosity. And we need to see older Christians who have a spirit of Christ in their life that is on display for everybody to see. I like what Billy Graham had to say about this in a book he wrote called Nearing Home. He says, old is authentic. Old is genuine. Old is valuable. Some say old is even beautiful. The older generation may have a hard time keeping up with the younger, but let's remember that as long as we're still breathing, we're leading the way. The generations that follow are learning about growing old from us. Are we good examples? While we've all made mistakes and would like to turn back the clock to correct some things, we know this is not possible. But the lessons we have learned from our successes and failures can help those following behind. The impact we can potentially have on them can mean the difference between living good examples and good memories in our place, or simply being out of sight and out of mind. What do we need? What is the role of older Christians in the church today? I don't pretend to say this is the only one, but here's one of them. Teach us how to grow old in Christ. Keep learning. Inspire us with your holy curiosity. And let us see Christ in you, so that someday what we see in you now may be reflected in our own walk with Christ. So that the younger generation in that day will have an example to live up to and emulate and follow as well. Now, I've been speaking mainly to older Christians this morning. Let me real quickly close by saying just a word or two to those who would fall into the category of younger Christians this morning. Three quick things I'd like to challenge you to do. Number one, get to know some of the older Christians of this church family. Invite someone who's older in the faith out to lunch or to your home for dinner. Spend some time getting to know some of us whose beards are now gray and some of us who've lost some hair and some of us who can get a discount at the local restaurant like Richard. I can't yet get it, so I'm not in that category yet. Get to know some of those who fall into the category of older Christians. Don't just listen. If you're not an older Christian this morning, don't just come in here, talk to the people that you know and then leave. Look around, visit around, shake some hands, get to know somebody by name who's different than you, who's older than you, that you can encourage from time to time and repeat your name to them as often as it's needed, because it may be hard to remember your name from week to week. And so let them know who you are, and let them know that you know who they are. That'll bless you, and it'll bless them. Second, do what you can to encourage and affirm those who are older in the faith. Many of our older Christians don't have the health that they once had. They can't get out and do like they used to do. And sometimes that makes you feel like, I don't have anything left to offer. You do. We appreciate your presence here. We appreciate your faithfulness. We appreciate your voices when you praise God. We appreciate the prayers that you sometimes lead. Listen to what those who are older in the faith have to say. It's often filled with wisdom. And by that, when you leave today on the exit tables, there is a list of principles and ideas and thoughts that some of our older members shared with me several weeks ago. You'll find them listed there. Whether or not this lesson has taken will largely be determined by how many of those sheets are left when you leave today. If you walk out the door and don't value that enough to stop and at least pick it up, that says to me pretty much I've been preaching to the wind. But that's okay. That's what the Lord wants us to do. Preach it whether people listen to it or not. So if you don't pick it up, that's on you, not on me. And what you do with it is up to you and the Spirit of God. But pick it up. I think you'll be blessed by some of the things you'll read there. And finally, if you're a young Christian, remember this. If the Lord wills, there'll come a day when you're an older Christian. And if you want to be a joyful, compassionate, caring, loving, growing, wise, old Christian, the time to start working toward that is now. You won't wake up 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now and be who you need to be in Christ if you don't start working toward that now. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to get us where we need to be when we get old. So don't wait. Don't think, I'll do that when I've got nothing else to do. It won't work that way. If we want to model what God wants us to model when we're old, we need to start doing it and working toward it when we're young. So start working on that now. And by the time you get to be the age of some of us in this assembly today, you'll be able to give off and model the behavior that those who are young in your day will be able to look up to and imitate. I hope I've given you something worthwhile this morning. Let's say it together. Say it to a neighbor. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.